Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us. Let's see if our next step works. This is the first time we've ever tried this. It'll be a whole new experience. What? Oh, Jesus, help us.
I'm trying, but sometimes you don't cooperate.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us. We got a new process that we're going to do tonight. It looks like the process is deciding it's not wanting to work with me, but it's still a good idea. And it's telling me to download Chrome.
Didn't you do that about 15
years ago? I've been using it about 15 years ago. Yeah, so, hallelujah. Those of you that joined us on the Read the Word, we will be right with Read the Word. We're going to be reading out of 2 Kings and Chronicles tonight. And we're just trying to make this work. Don't have any idea why that did that, but it'll be all right. Here we
it'll
go.
Be all right.
YouTube is going live. That's all the more we're going to... All right, then. Well, here we go. We'll be going live on YouTube here in just a couple of minutes.
All right. We'll be looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it right now. Okay, let's see how you like this one. Here we go. You really don't have... have that much. Thank you, Father, that everything we do functions absolutely properly. Thank you that all of our technology works for us every single time. Guess we should be making that confession, huh? Huh. That's a whole new experience right there.
New experiences can be fun.
Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome.
And now what?
It says I do not have permission to stream to YouTube.
Oh, it tried that again earlier, didn't it? Or it tried that earlier, and then you just went out and went back in. That worked. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's. Okay, we're almost there. Glad to have you with us tonight. I apologize about the wait.
Here's our Sunday girl.
It's totally unexpected. Here we go. But what you just saw is making it happen. We're live on YouTube now. Welcome,
you
YouTube.
Go.
Glad to have you with us tonight. And thank God for all of his help and strength and blessing with that's with us every day. Glad to have you with us tonight. Now, as we've been doing the last little bit, is we've been catching ourselves up on Read the Word. God has led Sister Leanne and I in a couple different opportunities, and we've taken advantage of them. So we've had to adjust our schedule a little bit, but hey, it's working, and here we are. So tonight, we're actually doing the Read the Word for August 18th. Somebody shout glory or something.
Glory
now,
or something.
Now, for those of you who don't know how to shout and praise God and have fun, stick around with us because we do know. We do know how to do that. And we don't mind shouting, and we don't mind you shouting. Don't scare the sleepy Christians. No, shout and scare them. Wake them right up because we want everybody to be alert and well-oriented. And we want you to grow and develop in God. Now, I'll say it once again. All of our Read the Words are in a playlist called Read the Word. That playlist is under my name, Samuel J. Cottle. If you go to YouTube and search Read the Word and put Samuel J. Cottle after it, you will find this playlist. And it starts in Genesis and has every day in it all the way to where we are. So you can literally start the Bible again and read all the way through to where we are right now. And it'll be that way. Chronologically. It'll be all the way to the end of the year. We're going to make that playlist have, well, it won't quite have 365 entries because we've had to do quite a few days together here in the last little bit. But we did it that way on purpose to make it something that everybody can listen to. And I encourage you to go do it. I've been telling myself I'm going to do it. And I'm really close to being able to go through that and do it. It's not perfect. It's not sterilized. It's not the perfect environment. It's not all the perfect clothes, the perfect makeup, the perfect everything. I believe in excellence. I love excellence. But I also believe that life is real. Life isn't a fake studio somewhere. I'm not speaking down anybody like Brother Copeland or any of those who have studios. I'm not speaking them people down at all. I love them, and I love their programs. All right? What I'm saying is the assignment God gave us real, right in the real shoes where you and I live. And send it around the world so real people can look at us and say, these people are just like me. If they can do it, I can do it. And that's what you and I are doing right here. So I encourage you. Here's how you do it again. Remember this. Go to the regular YouTube page. Sign in under your name. If you don't have a username and password for YouTube, get one. Because it's the easiest way for me to send a message to you and help you be able to study God's word. YouTube is way easier than Facebook. All right? So go to YouTube, sign in, and in the search panel at the top of the page, put Read the Word, and after it, put Samuel J. Cottle, and it'll take you right to this playlist so that you can be a part of it. You can also search Blog Talk Radio, Read the Word. It's got its own Read the Word channel, and you can hear it on audio through Blog Talk Radio. You can go there and listen to it, and you can find all the episodes all the way from January 1st till now. We're doing this on purpose to make it very easy for anybody to go through the Bible with someone that's been around the kingdom for a few years. I've been around the kingdom for 59 years. That's not a lot, but it's a few. Grown and developed in God to where he has us today. And we want to share all of that insight with you. I don't know it all. And I'll tell you, I don't know it all. I just know where to find it all. Right here in God's holy word. And I have the Holy Spirit living in me. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And all of us using our gifts together makes this a very powerful force. And you and I are experiencing it. And what's cool, if you're new to us on YouTube or Blog Talk Radio and you're like, wow, who are these guys? This is a group of believers that began gathering together on March 22nd, 2020. The pandemic had started. And ignorant people had begun to try to rule the world all by themselves. The God haters and the fools who say there is no God, they were trying to destroy everybody. But you can't destroy this world before God is done. And it's not their timeline, no matter what they think. It's his timeline.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I am building the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the church doesn't mean the local building with brick and a steeple. The church means the ecclesia, the body of Christ, God's governing body of authority on this earth. Jesus is building the church. Don't tell me he's going to lose. You can't stop one. The devil can't stop one prophecy Jesus ever prophesied. None. They will all come to pass exactly as the word of God says it. Because you can start in Genesis and go all the way through this book and every prophecy will come to pass. Only book on the face of the earth is like it. I don't care what they say about Nostradamus. No, he was a man. He was not inspired by God. He was a man inspired by demonic forces. He might have found God. Let's hope he did. I'm not a judge. All right? There's only one book that is the book that has it all, and that is the Word of God, the truth. And so glad to have you with us tonight. And we have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook group or page. Which is it?
Page.
Facebook page that you can follow. We actually have a testimony page. And we're just finding ways to be a blessing to the body of Christ and teach you the word of God.
Oh, my goodness, Sunday. Yeah, you should put your testimonies on the testimony page. Those were wonderful. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Just had that thought run through my head before seeing the testimony page.
Hey, our Sister Sunday on YouTube. For those of you, Brother Roger's there. Hey, Roger. All of you that usually like YouTube, I encourage you to find YouTube, find Facebook, find YouTube, because YouTube is so much easier to use. And I know. All right. And it looks like we got five of you watching right now, so welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you with us. It's going to be a great program tonight. You ready? Let's pray. Let's open with prayer, and then we're going to begin Read the Word. I know this is a little longer introduction to Read the Word than what I normally do, but I haven't been sitting in this seat as much. And God's helping us get that figured out and mastered. And I just want to make sure everybody knows how to be connected. If you go to YouTube and search up my name, you will see our videos. And God is helping us perfect this and make it excellent. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we open our hearts, our minds, our understanding to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. And then we have another window that wants to open up. It'll be all right. Here we go. Let's read the word. Tonight's Read the Word is found in 2 Kings 24 and 25 and 2 Chronicles 36. As we've been reading through the Word of God together, we are finding God's Word is so filled with life. All the way through God's judgment that happened to his people because they went so far astray. Yet all the way through it, God said, I'm here. Will you just turn to me? I'm here. Just turn to me. I'm here. Just turn to me. And even though he had to lead him into captivity, he was still there with them. Yeah. Even though he divorced them. Even though God didn't speak to his people for 400 years. Nicole Olson, welcome. Good to have you with us tonight, man.
Hi, Nicole.
We met Nicole at the Fargo Victory Campaign. It's good to have you with us tonight, ma'am. May God bless you and yours. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 24 and 25. All right. Judah is overrun by enemies.
I know, it's like, what
can
you say?
Just turn to God. That's how I feel. What I feel like saying to some people, turn to God. Chapter 24, verse 1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrian, bands of Moabites, the bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. One of them was Jeremiah. We've just been reading it. Verse 3. Surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah, to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done. Manasseh was very wicked and taught them to go astray. Also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Wow. What a word that is. God said he wouldn't pardon. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6. One of the things that the Lord hates is hands that shed innocent blood. If you're in the Old Testament, he told these people, I won't pardon you. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Jehoiakim rested with his fathers. Then Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt from the book of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years, or 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta. Wouldn't you like that for a name? I like that name.
I kind of do. Yeah.
What's your name, Nehushta? The daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. Then Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his mother, his servant, his princes, his officers went out to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took him prisoner. Stop doing evil. Just stop. You don't have to go down that road any longer. 13. He carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had told him to. Up until this time, they survived. But you remember what God said to Solomon the day he dedicated the temple? If in your prosperity you forget me, if my people who are called by my name, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, go look at it. It's the day he dedicated the temple. It was the day the temple was so filled with the glory, people couldn't get in it. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Watch this. And turn from their wicked ways. God's people can turn into wicked ways. And seek my face out here in heaven and forgive and heal. And they didn't do it. 14. 2 Kings 24:14. Also, he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men, 10,000 captives, all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. He carried Jehoiakim into captivity to Babylon, the king's mother, king's wives, his officers, the mighty man of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the valiant men, 7,000 valiant men, became a slave. Craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all who were strong and fit for war. These the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon, and Israel watched God wipe out Egypt when they were in Egypt. And they never lifted a hand. And now you got 7,000 valiant men and they can't stand up. Why? Because they let sin get in their life. You can't fight a battle and win when you let sin control you. Pastor, I don't know how to stop sinning. I'm trying. You got to get my series called The Reality of Righteousness. It's really difficult to get. Cost you $899. We take three payments of $299.
That doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't add up. It's on YouTube. Go search it. The Reality of Righteousness. When you get the revelation that it's Jesus' righteousness you live in, the power of sin is broken in your life. You'll listen to me. You'll never beat it in your own strength. I'm a living example of it. I grew up in the church. My mom and dad were pastors. I've been around the church for 59 years. That's a long time.
It is.
Just please listen to me. Your life will never be the same when you get the reality that you get to have Jesus' righteousness. And when you get it, everything changes. Am I preaching too much?
Everything changes, yeah.
Wait.
No, it's okay.
Is it too much or am I just preaching?
You're just preaching. But we love your preaching. We love your...
Are you just trying to make me feel good when I'm doing wrong?
A long, long time. We love your commentaries. We love
I don't think Sunday was calling me old, but, you know, anyways. You ready? Zedekiah reigns in Jerusalem.
Okay, now he's making fun of me because I used to say Zedekiah all the time.
Wait, I love the kingdom of God. You know why? Because everybody's got their own accent and way of saying it. I mean, I follow, of course, my pastor's Dr. Mark D. Barkley. And he's, you know, he's Bible college trained. He's a doctorate degree in theology. But I also followed Dr. Bill Winston. Well, that's two different cultures. And they say the words differently. There's just no way around it. And you're like, I never heard anybody say it that way before. But if you want to know the right way to say it, because I went to Bible college too.
It's Zedekiah. Unless your husband corrects you. That is Zedekiah.
I'm in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17. Then the king of Babylon
Oh my goodness. It's good to have you back in the studio.
Woo! Somebody shout glory or something.
Glory. Do you want me to read Pastor? I can pronounce those words.
Love you, Phyllis. That's no big deal what Phyllis just said. She just said, get your button gear and start reading the Bible. Here we go. Verse 17. 2 Kings 24:17. Then the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. You know why they changed the name? Because they named you after their false gods.
Wow. Yeah.
Daniel was named after our God. His name ended in E-L, but he called him I don't even remember his bad name. Anyways, keep going. 18, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamuto, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, that he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Chapter 25. We're doing good. Came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of Zedekiah. At the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city, and the king went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. Brutal.
Horrible. Yeah. Yeah.
For God's people, who he said, your enemies will flee before you seven ways. They'll come out against you one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways. But the enemies don't flee when you are doing the sins that the enemy's doing. God can't make them flee because you're following the same demonic force that they're following. Verse 9. Verse 8. In the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away the captive, the rest of the people who remained in the city, and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts, and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried their bronze to Babylon. Magnificent house that had been built. And they bowed down to other gods. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the spoons, all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered, the fire pans, the basins, the things of solid gold and solid silver the captain of the guard took away, the two pillars, one sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. The bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits. That's 54 feet tall. It's bronze. And the capital on it was bronze. The height of the capital was 3 cubits. The network of pomegranates all around the capital were all of bronze. The second pillar was the same with the network. We remember when God told him to build all this.
Yeah.
All right. Captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war. Five men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army, mustered the people of the land, 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. The king of Babylon struck them, put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. It's exactly what God said was coming. It's not what God wanted to have happen. But when you don't turn, then you're destroyed. His wrath is reserved for his enemies, those who choose the nature of his most arch enemy, yeah. Satan, Lucifer, fallen angel. When you do what the devil does, you take on his nature. Whether you've been in church or said you were born again or anything. When you do what the devil does, you take on his nature.
Do
not do that. 22. Then he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had left. When all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Seraiah, the son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of Maccathite, they and their men. Gedaliah took an oath before them and their men and said to them, "Do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." But it happened in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal family, came with 10 men, struck and killed Gedaliah the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. These people just were striking, killing people,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah.
All the people, small and great, the captains of the armies arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. 27. Came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that began to reign, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him, gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. Now, you know what? I honestly do not remember that part of the story. But that's the value of reading this out loud.
Yeah.
Did you notice? That's the last verse of 2 Kings.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles chapter 36. We didn't do too bad.
No.
I want to tell you everything that I just added was straight from the Holy Spirit. But I asked Dr. Barclay about it one time. And you know what he said? I couldn't hardly believe he actually said this. He said, "Well, yeah, it's from the Holy Spirit mostly." But he said, "Just admit it, Sam, that it's your gift and you do enjoy using it." I said, wait. Now, do I have to honestly admit this right here in front of you right now? He says, "You might as well, because I know it's true whether you admit it or not."
Well, I did notice that there was one place in here in Kings that it says something about the Chronicles. You know, it did imply that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand.
Yep.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yep.
I'm learning a little bit myself.
Think of that. Nothing else to be said. Second Chronicles chapter 36. I want you to notice this is the last chapter of Second Chronicles. Now think about this.
Second Chronicles 36 verse 1.
Well, just hold on just a second. I have to say something.
Okay. I just wanted them to know where we're at.
What we're getting ready to see is the kings. And the Chronicles of the Kings is now over. And they're going to be sent to Babylon. And there's going to be a short period afterwards that they're going to come back. Because Ezra and Nehemiah rebuild the temple and the wall. And then they're totally destroyed. And then God doesn't speak to his people for 400 years. And then the next thing that you're going to see is John the Baptist on the scene. I don't know what to do yet to portray the 400 years of silence.
Oh.
Maybe we'll just all show up one night and just sit here and say nothing for a whole night.
I don't know that that's possible with this group or you.
Well, I've got the master mute button, so I can mute everybody. And I do have the ability to be quiet no matter what you think. But, I mean, think about that.
Oh, my goodness.
They had done so wickedly that God did not speak on this earth for 400 years. Now, not everybody was doing wrong. But then you will see the prophecy about John the Baptist. His mom and dad were doing right. They were still priests.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting study when we get there. Ready? Second Chronicles 36. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Now the king of Egypt deposed him at Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Jehoahaz's brother, Eliakim, the king over Judah and Jerusalem, changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him off to Egypt. Verse 5, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him in bronze fetters to carry him off to Jerusalem, to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off some of the articles from the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple at Babylon. The rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, look at this, the abominations which he did and what was found against him. Indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Then Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. At 8 years old, 3 months and 10 days. At the turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned him and took him to Babylon with the costly articles from the house of the Lord, made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 11, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. So you can see, Jeremiah is prophesying to these people. 13, he also rebelled against the king Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck, hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more accordingly to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which God had consecrated in Jerusalem. 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. Had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. All the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king and of his leaders. All these he took to Babylon. Then he burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 10 Sabbaths. 22. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be filled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God, and let him go up. And that ends the books of 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Now, at this point in our Read the Word programs, I always have what I call circle the wagons, which means let's bring everything into context of what we just read. Since the beginning of Genesis, God has been trying to reveal himself to his people. Some of them received him. Many, many, many mighty men of God walked with him. There's probably, who knows, hundreds of thousands, maybe a million. Who knows? I don't know the population then, of people who actually walked with God. And yet the leaders wouldn't walk with God, but did the abominations. Arrogant look, proud look, haughty, shed innocent blood, sowed discord among the brothers, led people astray. All the abominations you see in Proverbs chapter 6. So God had to come into captivity, and he said it all the way from Moses in Egypt until now. When you look at the date on these, this is 600 BC. And what's very interesting is that that means there's 5,000 years there from creation when Genesis was written till now. 5,000 years, God is endeavoring to reveal himself to his people. Now, according to the book of Hebrews, you and I have a better covenant, better promises, sworn in the blood of Jesus. Once and for all, this blood was shed. No more sacrifice ever had to be made. The old covenant passed away. Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets hang, like a sign, hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's what you and I must live by.
Yes.
The difference between the Old Testament people and you and I, God was in heaven shining down on them. God is in us. We get to have God by the Holy Spirit living in us, leading us from the inside out. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me the other day. I shared it this morning.
Oh, yeah.
But I've heard so many stories of God manifesting itself to people. And Brother Hagin had, I don't know, 8 or 9 appearances of Jesus in his life. Many people have had that same experience happen. Brother Jerry said he did. Brother Jerry Savell, Jesse DePlanis went to heaven. Brother Copeland has had Jesus show up a few times to him. I'm sure other people have. And it's very interesting because some people, God says, tell the story, and other people say, don't. I wasn't going to tell anybody. Because it's kind of special. It's kind of important to you. I got home, and he said to tell Leanne, so I told her. And then this morning, we were sitting here for the program, and he said, tell him. And I'm like, well, all right. And he's telling me to tell you right now. I'm driving truck out here, hauling salt water in the oil field. And the other day, I'd had equipment problems all day long. Finally, at about, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night or something, I finally got rolling and just had some really high levels of water that we got to get taken down. So I began to haul some more loads, moving water. Where I'm working out here, there's not very much light noise. And maybe that doesn't make sense for people. Light noise is the closer you get to the city, the more light comes off the city. And when you're trying to see the stars and what's in heaven, you can't see it because there's too much light. Well, you get about 25 miles north of here, and there ain't no lights. Farm light, you know, every couple miles. But in this specific location I'm on, I was on that night. Behind it to the north, there was just no light. And I got out of the truck, started walking toward the back. And there's no light back there. And I'm like, wow, look at the stars. And there you could just see everything because there is no light. You know? So you could just see all the stars. And the Big Dipper was right over the back of the truck. It was just huge. And then just a gazillion stars. You know, I'm like, wow, look at that. I'm like, God, you're so amazing. And you choose to live in me. And just like that, his presence filled that whole location. I just stopped. I'm like, wow, what are you doing here? Dumb thing to say when you're saying God show up, you know? not what are you doing here, but what are you doing here? Said, I just like to do what you do. And there was such an amazing presence of, I don't know how to say this. It's going to take me a lot of words, but I'm just, give me a lot of words. There was such an amazing presence of, I'm proud of you, son. You're doing a good job. You're doing, you're hard at it. You're making it happen. I'm proud of what you're doing. Now, I don't know how you say all that in a couple words, and it doesn't matter. But that presence was just there. It was just him. He was there. To the point where I honestly was like, wow, is it going to just manifest? Am I actually going to get to see God or Jesus, you know? And it wasn't an angelic presence. It was God. And he's just like, I'm just here doing with you. So I started asking him questions about the truck and what I was doing. I'm like, well, I'm only hauling 100, but could I haul 120? He said, yeah, you can haul 120. You're not going to make a mess. So he answered a question about the truck for me right there. You know what he said? He said, I want to do this for everybody. If they will diligently seek me.
Yeah.
If they'll get all the noise out of their life and all the superficial stuff that we prop ourselves up with, just be in his presence for being in his presence. Why I'll ask the question, why would God not want to meet with us? That's a negative way to say it. And so now I'm going to say, God said, I will be to you a God, and you will be my people. Then he said, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. And I got home. I don't know. Sometime. I'm not sure where it was at. It was here last night when I was eating supper after I got home or got up or something. I don't know. And I had Nancy Dufresne preaching out here. And she told the story. Don't worry. This is just how we do things here. This is okay. She told the story of her husband getting off an airplane in L.A. or somewhere. It's a pretty busy airport. As he came off the airplane, he saw two rows of angels, 50 angels long, 100 angels standing there when he got off the plane. Now, that might seem a little freaky to some of you, but it's they're ministering spirits sent to minister to you and I. And he said, I said to the father, what are these for? He said, that's 100 angels that have been dispatched to you to bring healing wherever you go. Now, I don't know about you. I think I do know about you. That's what I want in my life is 100 angels. I want God to show me 100 angels he's dispatched for me. And if they show up right here in this room, don't worry, you won't see Sister Leanne and I will be down on the carpet, all right? I want you to think about this. I don't remember what year she said that was, but then her husband was killed in a plane crash in 2012. And she was praying one day, and God said, those angels did not leave you. Their assignments on earth. They didn't go to heaven with Ed. They're still on this earth, and they're working with you. And the father said, 50 of them stayed with you, Nancy. And 50 of them were dispatched to the men and women who stayed connected to you after your husband went to heaven. Well, how would you like to have a healing angel dispatched to your ministry? Amen. Well, what's the answer to that? You got to know where you're supposed to be and then plug in and don't move. Because you don't have to have a preacher to have an angel dispatched to you. You don't have to be a preacher. You have to be someone that's sold out doing the work of God. Zero rebellion in your heart. You may not understand everything God's telling you to do, but no rebellion. No place in your life saying, I ain't doing that. You might say, yes, sir. What in the world do I do now? You might say that. I've said that many times. He lives in here. We got to get this down. God lives inside of us. Why did you tell us a story about that? Well, how many angels do we have dispatched to us we don't know about? Because we're propping ourselves up with loans and with help from mama and papa and brother. And we're propping ourselves up with all of this human stuff, trying to make it because God isn't supplying. Well, no, wait, I can't say that. And yet when you really look inside the meditation of your heart, if you really say it like it is, we do many things we do because God's not doing it. Well, it's not that God's not doing it. We don't have our eyes, our spiritual eyes, fine-tuned to where he's actually working. Now, Pastor, how is this circle in the wagons? Well, let's not be like Israel and Judah. You and I can read those stories, but they didn't have God in them. And you and I have God living on the inside of us. The only reason he doesn't manifest in every one of our lives in that way every day is we got too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
Everybody say it. Lord, help me declutter.
Lord, me declutter.
I'm guiltiest. I'm the guiltiest of them all. I'm like Paul. I'm the chiefest of all the sinners. But I see 10,000 things to do, and I want to do it all at the same time. No. Let's just stay in his presence until we know him. You may not know God. You may not. And even though in our communion service, we pray the prayer of salvation. I want to pray the prayer of salvation with you right now. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. I always like everybody to pray it because whether you've never been born again, or maybe you've been born again and away from God. Maybe you're just now finding out who God is. Maybe you've been around the kingdom all your life. Most of all, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. The more you pray, the more you look to God, the more you trust in him, the more your faith will grow. So I encourage everyone who's with me to pray this prayer with me right now, tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you. You give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. I receive all of your love and your mercy.
I receive all of your
grace and your righteousness.
I receive all of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Now, this might be the first time you ever prayed that prayer. And if so, and you meant it from the depths of your heart, you'll notice there's something going on the inside of you. You'll be like, wow, what's happening, Pastor? Well, the God of heaven just filled your life. If you're a believer and you're like, wow, I'm experiencing something on the inside, what is it, Pastor? It's you opening up to God one more time saying, I receive you. And God saying, I know, here I come. And you get more. That's why I want everybody to pray it every time. Because there'll come a point where you will get out of it just being a ritualistic prayer that pastor's leading in, I have to say. And you'll realize, this is a reality I live in every day. I'm not ever going to miss saying this prayer ever again. That's the way it is. Why? Because every time you say to God, fill me, guess what he does? He fills you. Well, Pastor, if I'm already full, how can he fill me anymore? Because he said, I want to fill you with all the fullness of God. And the parts of your life where you don't let him in, he can't fill it. Do you have bitterness? Do you have resentment? He can't fill past the parts of that that you're keeping in your life. So guess what? There's always a place for God to fill you more. And where's that place going to be? All of the areas where you keep surrendering to him, saying, no, take that. No, that's not going to be in my life. No, I'm not going to say those words ever again. Those words are not with you. They're against you. I will never make that statement again. What did you just do? You just took something else out of your life and said, now, God, fill that place in my life with you. Now, he filled you to the fullest you'll let him fill you every time you pray that prayer. But if you only let him give you a little dabble, do you? That's all he's going to be able to fill you with. He's the rewarder of those. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Aren't you glad that he gives us the opportunity to diligently seek him, and then he rewards us for it? Now, this is a completely different read the word, doing it at night like this. It's a whole new thing, all right? So for those of you that are used to it being 25 to 28 minutes long, I'm sure it'll get back there. Tonight it wasn't that long, but this has been a very good word for us all night long.
Yes, it has.
And we thank you for being here. For those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, you'll find my email address on the website right down there in the notes of this program. And I encourage you, get connected. Stay connected to us. We're not the only ministry in the world, but we're a good ministry. And we've got great messages and teachings to help you learn the ways of God. As our Sister Mary said, in the common man's form, that makes it simple to understand and grab a hold of. And so I want you to be a part of it. What's that? What are you going to do, Pastor? You're going to go to samueljcottle.com. That's our website. Make sure you click a like, put it in your favorites, however you do it. That's our website. That's all of our contact information. Then go to YouTube, Samuel J. Cottle on YouTube. I put everything in my name. You may not remember the name of the church, but you'll remember my name. And when you search my name, you can find me. All right? Then on Facebook, we're Samuel J. Cottle, Community of Faith. There's a whole bunch of communities of faith out there, but none of them had my name on it. So that's what we did. If somebody's name's got to be on it, so we got to might as well make it happen. I want you to like, I want you to subscribe, and hit the notification bell so that you know every time we come on here, you know that we're here, and it'll be a blessing to you every time we come on here. This is not an advertisement because there ain't nothing like, if you're going to give money here, it's because God tells you to give. We've got lots of places to put money. You can help us do a lot of things. We've got a lot of programs going on, but this isn't an advertisement for money. I want you to get connected to the Word of God. It doesn't cost you anything. It's like Brother Keith said, and if it's free of charge, there's no excuse. Go to YouTube. We've got a playlist for Read the Word. We got a playlist for Establishing Your Faith, our evening program. We have a playlist for our morning prayer time. We have a playlist for the 1 hour of faith on Sundays. We've got a lot of different playlists that help you really get to know our God. And we want you to be a part of it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
And amen. And amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now,
we're so blessed.
Aren't we blessed?
We are.
No, I'm not going to ask the question with a negative. We are so blessed.
Yes, we are.
I heard I heard Brother Terry Mize say, we studied the message one night when he was at Nancy's for the camp meeting.
Oh, yeah.
He said, don't worry, the longest message I ever preached was 10 hours. And I'm like, woo! But he said, no good preacher is going to want to just stand up here and talk for 10 hours. That's not going to answer anybody. Nobody wants to sit that long. But he said, when the people's hearts are hungry and the Holy Spirit's moving and the Word of God is rich, you and I will sit in it like a good bath all day long. You know, if you got the water just right, you'll sit in the bath as long as they let you without getting waterlogged. If it's too hot, you won't get in. If it's too cold, you won't stay in. Got to have it just right. And that's what it's like when the Holy Spirit begins to move. I want us to go to a couple of verses. Roger's like, four more hours, Pastor. Well, I don't know if we're going to go for four more hours. But I've had this burning in my heart. And I've spoken it much in the last little bit of time, but I want us to just grab a couple of quick verses, about another 15 minutes, maybe a few more, but go with me to Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Hopefully somebody's creating a verse list for us so that we can have all of these recorded. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Can I get a, I love the word.
I love the word.
Hallelujah. I love the word.
We love the word.
We love the word. Here. Here we go. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Verse 6, be strong. You cannot be weak. You got to be strong. The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man is chasing them. And all y'all wicked people better be fleeing because we're chasing you.
Amen.
Well, don't flee. Stand there and let us make you righteous. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people we shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong, he says it again, and very courageous, he says it again, that you may observe to do according to all the commandments, all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left. Look at this verse. That you may prosper wherever you go. If you're not prospering wherever you go, you got to start asking some questions. Why? Because that promise is to you and I. That God has given you and I a promised land that he wants us to take. He's got one he wants you to take. He's got one he wants me to take. There was one life of the children of Israel, but in the day we live with God living inside of us, every one of us have a promised land. And it's that position, it's that place, it's that assignment of God that was written in your book on the day that you were born. Yeah, I know I preach it all the time, but you might as well get used to it because I'm going to preach it till the day that Jesus comes back. And hopefully I get it in enough videos that all through the 7-year tribulation, people are watching it on earth saying, wow, thank God for this guy. I'm going to actually get there in the second rapture. I know some of you are like, the second rapture? What? Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What's that mean? Have this word coming out of your mouth every single day. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then, as you're meditating in it, you, look what it says, you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. It's the only place in the Bible the word success is used. Is to Joshua. 1400 years before Jesus, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. He said to him, have I not commanded you? I like to say it this way. I have commanded you. Be strong and have a good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy chapter 34, just across the page. And we're going down here, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. The days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And yet, go with me to John chapter 17. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I figured you did, but you got to not just sit there. You got to say something.
I love the word.
John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus' final prayer for his disciples at the end of his ministry. Passover supper has been eaten. The first communion service has happened, and they're getting ready to go out. And Jesus prays the shepherd's prayer, what many people call it, in John 16 and 17. In John 14, 15, and 16, he's teaching about the Holy Spirit. But in John 16 and 17, he begins to pray. He teaches them about the Holy Spirit. John 17 is Jesus' prayer. All right, I will. Let's read the whole chapter. Hey, we can receive it.
John 17?
Yeah. We can receive an assignment from heaven, can't we? John 17. Yeah. Jesus prays for himself and the disciples. Now, I want you to put you as the focus of Jesus' prayer. You might say, Pastor, is that even legal in the kingdom? Are you going to get struck with lightning? No. Why would the Father want the Holy Spirit to live inside of you if you don't get to take advantage of all the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to put my spirit in you, but you can't overcome sin and you can't be victorious and you can't be healthy. But I'm going to put my spirit in you. See, when you think about it that way,
yeah,
doesn't even make sense. Even though religion has taught us that way. 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus said it, that they may know you. This is eternal life. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. Why? Jesus showed them the Father, his whole ministry. Verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me, Jesus. And that's what you and I are believers. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I'm going to read that verse again because I really like it. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. This is Jesus' prayer for the disciples and for you and me. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. This is Jesus' prayer. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This is Jesus' prayer for you and for me. Verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And these are some of our most favorite verses here at the Community of Faith, verses 20 through 26. I do not pray for these alone, the 11, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that is you and me. This book we hold, all of the New Testament, is the word of the men who sat in that room and heard him pray this prayer. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Jesus just said that you and I get to be one with him and the Father, just like he was one with the Father on this earth. Now that ought to make you so absolutely motivated, excited. Excited is the wrong word, but so inspired, that's the better word.
Amen.
To just find out who God is and find out what being one with him actually means. Jesus just said that you and I actually get to be one with him. How amazing is that? That the world may believe that you, God, sent me, Jesus, is what that's saying. When you and I are one with the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the world believes that God sent the Father, that Father sent Jesus to this earth. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Thank you, Father. I in them, I love this, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And Jesus said, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Thank you, Father. Verse 24, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them. Think about it. The love with which the Father loved Jesus. Jesus prayed that that love be in you and me. Now, I know that's not the traditional theology that is taught in the traditional churches of the traditionally religious people of the traditional Americans. But it is the Word of God. Paul said, by the Holy Spirit inspiration, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul wasn't just sitting around bored saying, wonder where I should write next. Well, let's just try this, see if this works. That's not how that works. These men were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Say it. I get to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Think about it.
Philippians 9, 5, 6, 6,
6. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what every bit of the teaching that we do is focused on. That you can actually pick up your Bible, believe what's on this page, and make it work in your daily life, just like God said it would work. I know there's a lot of religious people say, ah, that's a pretty big, tall order right there, Pastor. You can't do everything Jesus did. He's our elder brother. We're of the same nature as he is. You read John 17 that I just read to you. There wasn't nothing in there where Jesus was saying, well, Father, give him a little bit, but don't give him everything you gave me. Yeah, he said, all of my glory. Because they live on the inside of you. Isn't it awesome to know? See, all of a sudden, this becomes the greatest adventure you've ever been on. Why? Because getting to know God is a different experience every day. Because if we're seeking him, then he gives a greater revelation of who he is. Jesus said, to him who has revelation, more will be given. So when you get it, hold on to it. Build it. Grow it. Develop it. Write it down. Make some note cards. Make some notebooks. Make notes in your computer. Say it out loud every day, all day long, so that it doesn't leave you. And just like he said to Joshua, be strong, very courageous, because you are going to conquer the land he gave you to conquer. Jesus' mighty name. Guess what time it is? 9:11.
Oh. Yep.
Isn't that something?
It is something.
Over and over on 9/11, we finish. What's that mean, Pastor? I don't have any idea. Except I look up and 9/11, we're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the promise of your presence in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you taught Jesus to teach us. Thy kingdom come, it has. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We receive life and life more abundantly from you every day. May we be examples of the abundant life of God in everything we do. And as you said, Jesus, I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I hear my Father say. We open up our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our understanding to be led by you, to be silent when you would be silent, speak boldly when you would be bold, and to go and do everything that you show us. Even if it's just baking a batch of cookies for the neighbor, may we be faithful to do thy will right here on this earth. In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. Don't you just love the presence of God? Isn't this an awesome presence of God here tonight? I just love it. I just love your presence, Father. Now, it's time for us to receive the communion elements. Usually on Read the Word, we receive the communion elements on Sunday mornings, and we'll do that again this Sunday morning. But tonight we're going to receive the communion elements. This is not only Read the Word, but this is also our evening program. And we're glad to have you with us. If you don't have communion elements ready, get up and get some. Get you some bread and water. Get you some grape juice and bread, whatever you got. Most of all, whatever you get, whatever you're going to bring, we're going to sanctify it. Now, we've already prayed the prayer of salvation. So that makes you and me right with God. But I always like to read the Word of God the Apostle Paul gave us by the Holy Spirit that's found in the book of Corinthians. So those of you that are home and you're new to this, and those of you that's with us every time, open your Bible up and read these pages. I want to see your Bible automatically open up to this page because you use this page so much. When somebody finds your Bible and 1 Corinthians 11 and 12 pages are worn out, they're going to make one statement. Why was it worn out? I got one of my dad's Bibles that he used. And it's a Thompson chain like this. And you know what pages were falling out of his Bible? Acts chapter 1 and 2.
I remember it was Acts something, but I couldn't remember.
Acts chapter 1 and 2 was what was falling out of his Bible. Not because it was the center page. My dad was there reading it over and over and over, turning there. Why? He was working on that power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Nobody knew that until he went to heaven. And mom said, would you like a Bible? I'm like, yeah, I want that Bible. Thank you, Jesus. And then I opened it up. And the page that fell out was Acts chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28, verse 31. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What are you proclaiming? His redemptive work. All of it. Because Jesus' death was about redemption. But it wasn't just his death. It was his suffering. It was the prophecies. It was coming to this earth. It was being born. It was being trained. It was the years when nothing, we don't know anything about Jesus. And then his ministry began, and he went everywhere healing, and he suffered. Then he died. He bled. He rose again. But his ministry wasn't complete until he was seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what you and I proclaim. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Well, I want to read 16 too. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Don't you love it when you can be bold when you're being judged?
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
Why can you be bold? Because as he is. Notice that he is capitalized. As he is, so are we in this world. Not in the future, right now. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love, because we love him. We love him because he first loved us. I read a few more verses. I got started and couldn't get stopped. Now, this is where we would normally pray the prayer of salvation, but we just prayed it. So now, we're going to receive the elements. We're going to bless them. I've already given you how to get in contact with us. So this is what we do. We bring our elements every time we come, and we bless these elements of all the things that's in your house. We're going to bless and sanctify these specific items for this time of communion, right now, tonight. The word of God in prayer gets its power when you and I speak it. And by blessing this, God honors that blessing out of your mouth and mine. You don't need me to bless it. You need you to bless it. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Ready with me? I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord. Jesus, you were wounded
for
my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And in the body of Christ in my community, right here in this community of faith.
And right here in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You endured the cross, despising the shame, and you called it all joy that you could win us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad? By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
All things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come to your throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I overcome every day.
I overcome every day.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague I have
and cannot be on me or my family. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And that's forever. Amen. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
And any other kind of blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. For those of you that's wondering, some people call it a shot glass. I think Solo made me a communion cup. Isaiah chapter 1 says, though your sins be as scarlet, that's red. That's what sin looks like. Then the verse says, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Solo, for making me a communion cup.
It looks like a communion cup to me.
I think it's wonderful. Because I can buy it and share it with truck drivers and bikers and anybody that'll stop long enough to let me take communion with them. And I can buy them in every store, wherever. It's pretty cool that Solo did that for me. They did it just for me. I'm a special child of God. I have God's favor on my life.
Thank you for all of us.
You ready? Let's sing our song about the blood. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Woo! You know, Sister Leanne has become so much like me that she talks the same way I talk at the same time. Don't you love it? Bible says the two shall be made one. Thank you.
That was a nice song. I love that song when you both sing it like that.
Well, you know.
You're so sweet, honey.
It
sounds good.
I want everybody that's listening to understand something. Now, what you just heard wasn't perfect harmony and perfect pitch.
Because that's
impossible to do with technology like we're doing this. But as Sister Phyllis just said, it's perfect pitch. perfect harmony, because we, the body of Christ, have come together in agreement and said, you know what? Whether or not it's perfect, we're still going to sing, because worship is in our heart. Praise is in our heart. We're still going to read the word, because that's what it's like. We're still going to do this work, no matter if it's not the perfect studio excellence that some people are desiring. Why?
Well, it's still blessed anyway.
Because we're going to do the work that he gave us to do.
Yep. Amen.
Dr. Barclay tells a story of one of his fathers of the faith. If you don't know the name Mark T. Barclay, that's my pastor for the last 30 years. Been with the same pastor for 30 years. You want to talk about strength in your life, you stick with the same person that long. The same man of God who is led to by God. There's people that God said, go there, and then they go over here. So you can't, we're not downing anybody that's not in 30 years, okay? I'm going to make sure everybody knows what I'm saying here. The pastor said about one of his fathers that after 60 years of ministry, this is his statement that was the conclusion of his life. He said, this is what I learned after 60 years of ministry, that God really does know more than me.
Amen.
And if I would have just done what he told me to do, when he told me to do it, how he told me to do it, no matter what anybody else was doing, no matter if there was nobody else doing it, but just obeyed him, I would have saved myself a lot of trouble and frustration. And you know what? That's what you and I are doing right here. There may be people who don't want to see this, but it's not because the Spirit of God's not here. It's not because his word isn't here in power. It's not because our prayers don't work. Our prayers work.
Amen.
Our prayers work. And God called this a healing room. That means there must be, never thought of it that way before until just now that, remember that story, must be a healing angel here.
Oh, hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. Welcome. Forgive me for not giving you more recognition. Hey, Audrey Van Gessel.
Hello, Audrey.
We've been missing you, girl. Where you been? No, we know. You're busy with the family and the kids. It's so good to see you. It's so good to see you.
It is.
Now, this is what the father spoke to Nancy about those 100 angels. She said, the father said, if you will speak about the fact that they're with you, they will stay and their presence will manifest. You got to talk about it. You got to talk about the goodness of God for it to manifest. You got to talk about the blessings of God for them to manifest to you. Everywhere
you know
go.
That you're talking about the hedge of protection that I'm always talking about, right?
Amen. Yep. And I don't know. I didn't see the vision, or I didn't see the angels, but obviously these angels have a special assignment for healing. You know, I'm not going to start preaching again.
You can. That's okay.
Maybe. But I've been
meditating. I just said it's okay.
I've been meditating in these verses. In Hebrews chapter 12. Okay. And I believe it's Paul is writing by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 15, he says, don't fall short of the grace of God. What's that mean? That means you can fall short of the grace. Don't do it. Verse 18, Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest. That's what the children of Israel saw on that mountain. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. Why? Their hearts were filled with Egypt and their hearts were filled with idols, and they didn't realize it. And their hearts were filled with sin, even though God let them out. Verse 20. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or shot with an arrow. So terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. And then God said, come up the top of the mountain, Moses. Whoa. Yeah. All right, he's exceedingly afraid. Look at 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. I love this. To the city of the living God. All the rest of them are dead, like we read in Jeremiah this week. They go out and cut down a tree, make half of it for firewood and half of it for an idol. Just don't cut off too much for firewood because you won't have an idol left. And then make it look after something like a man that you made with your own hand and bow down and worship it. Brother Terry Mize tells the story of being in the conference center, having a Holy Ghost kicking meeting and seeing his wife back and back and this man flailing his arms and talking, and he kept watching, seeing if he needed to send somebody back there. And of course his wife, what was Jackie, she's like, she, you know, she was a missionary, so she was able to handle it. And the guy left, and then he come back and did it again after the service. He's like, what's going on back there? She said, they had a meeting going on in the conference room next to us to their false god idols that were set up on an altar. And we're dancing and jumping and shouting in such a way over here that it kept falling down on its face over there, falling right off the altar. And the man was really upset at us for knocking their gods over. And they're like, well, we can't make the floor shake. That was just God knocking the idol off, saying the true God's next door to you. Isn't that a cool story?
It is a cool story.
You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at this. To an innumerable company of angels. And what are they for? They are ministering spirits sent to minister to you and I.
Yeah.
I've heard of angels of prosperity. I've heard of angels of healing. I've heard of an angel of excellence. That angel just comes. I remember one time Dr. Barclay was prophesying at a meeting. He called this man up and said, I got a word for you. And the man got up there and he said, oh, it was the pastor of the church. He said, God has set an angel with a beacon on top of your building. And it's flashing, and the people who are hungry will see the flashing light and show up here. And that man's church exploded in numbers.
Wow.
We've come to an innumerable company of angels, and they're working with you and I right here, right now. Say it with me. Thank you for ministering spirits of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for ministering
that are with me 24/7.
Angels.
Amen and amen. Amen. To the General Assembly, Church of the Firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Your name is registered on the roster in heaven, whether it's registered on the name of man's organization or not. To God, the judge of all the spirits, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. I love this. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. That is what you and I belong to. Maybe you've not read that lately. It would do some good to read them seven verses every day and say, show me. I received the revelation. Show me. I received the revelation. Show me. I received the revelation. And it'll get bigger and it'll go greater and it'll go stronger. You will possess the land that God possessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all I got. Not really. But that's all I'm going to share.
I don't think that's all you've got.
Well, bottom line, guys, is it's all led by the Holy Spirit. And if we just do what he says, look at how we're growing in God. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about numbers. I'm concerned about growth in your heart and mind. That we actually believe what's on this page and we go and do it. In Jesus' mighty name. Make me a sign and a wonder in this day. You want to say that? Say it.
Make me a sign and a wonder in this thing.
In this day. May people look at you and me. May people look at you and me and say, there's something about you. And we'll look at them and say, Jesus.
Now, don't you sign up without letting me read the benediction.
Well, I'm not signing off without the benediction. I'm not going to sign off without the benediction. There's no way. I wake up in the middle of the night shaking like, oh, geez.
They already have it written over here.
Okay. So there's the 90-second lady. You better hurry.
Okay.
No, wait. Wait, fellas. Don't do it. Because she's going to come on for 90 seconds and keep interrupting, and I don't want that interrupted. Let me say this to people that are with us. Remember, click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell. It's no big deal if I got numbers. It's not about numbers.
I don't need numbers.
I want you to be connected every time we go live. I want you to know where we are and know what's happening with this group of people.
Amen.
You might think, well, Pastor, you're always here. It's going to be easy to find you. I'm going to tell you something about technology. Tonight, after what? 2.5 years of sitting here tonight, I'm sitting there looking, and it's like, you can't do that. And I was like, what do you mean I can't do it? I've done it for how many days? So then we go back to...
700-something?
What's that?
At least 700-something.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. That's just technology. That's why I keep stressing this. I want you to click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, because that way you will always be notified in one way or another, however you set it up, of how to get in contact with us in Jesus' mighty name. 10 seconds is the last one she says, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go for it, Phyllis.
Okay, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on him have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
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 Amen. I love that because it says he is able to keep you from stumbling. He's going to keep you.
And falling.
You can stumble or fall.
I love the way Phyllis reads it.
You're so sweet, honey.
I could sit with you for hours, Phyllis.
I enjoy your company also, Rebecca.
So the next show that we're going to promote is the Sister Phyllis Hour.
Well, if you ever can't come on, give me a call.
I'm going to send you a special Zoom package so you can do your own Zoom. People would be with you.
Yeah.
You have a powerful ministry.
I tried it in and I just wasn't any good at it. But after a couple more years with you, I might be able to.
We love you, Phyllis. You know. I this is interesting because I remember the first time I saw Phyllis's name on here. And at the beginning, everybody that was coming on, I'm like, wow, look at all these people showing up. Of course, it's the pandemic. Everybody's at home, you know, nobody's out doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, to find a way to remember all these people. So I'd put it on my phone, and that'd be, you know, five or six people that would come in and make a statement or something. And it would say they're now live, so I'd click a picture of it. I'd click a screenshot.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Phyllis's name show up. I'm like, wow, I wonder who Phyllis is. And then it said Louisiana. I'm like, I don't know who she is, but I sure hope she stays around because I want some good Louisiana cooking. And she came back. I don't even, how'd you find us, Phyllis?
I think you were reading the Bible, and that is where I wanted to be. And so I asked for prayer, and you prayed for my son.
That's what it
is. And I've been reminding you to pray for him again and again and again because some problems are very great, and just digging in there. So
let's pray for him right now.
I forgot to pray for him last night.
Let's pray for him right now. Lauren, right?
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, you, by the Holy Spirit, called this a healing room.
Yeah.
We lift our hands to you in surrender to that word. But we also lift our hands to you, acknowledging that you are the one that do these miracles. May an infallible proof happen again in our brother's life. I declare health, healing, and strength in every part of your life, Lauren. I declare life and life more abundantly fills every cell of your body.
Yeah.
Every bit of weakness, I command you to leave. If there was any sin in the past it was connected to, your power is broken over our brother who has the call of God on his life. We command in the realm of the spirit, as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah that is in us, life and life more abundantly to Lauren now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, according to God's holy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Everybody say it. It is done.
It is done.
It is done.
It is
I
done.
I agree.
By the manifest presence of Almighty God. All right.
Jesus says, with two or three are gathered together, if there is agreement, so it shall be done.
It shall be done.
Jesus.
Absolutely. I say that all the time.
Jesus said,
thank you.
Father, I know you hear my prayer. And then he said, I know you always hear. John said in the epistle, and we know that if he hears us, we know we have the petition that we ask. And I know he heard us. I know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And we know we have this petition that we ask. And we know the angel of healing that's here just went. High five the angel over by Lauren.
Thank you.
And we command this to be done to the glory and to the honor and to the praise of the name of Jesus. In Jesus.
I pray healing over each one of our families, each one of our homes. I pray healing and life and peace and comfort.
Amen.
Amen.
We
all need
it. We receive it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Amen. And Audrey is amen and on YouTube.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you, Brother Roger. Who else?
Yes,
Sundays
Roger.
Over there. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of people over there tonight. If you haven't signed in on YouTube tonight, please sign in and at least say hi or something so we know where you're listening from, because we always like to know, just because it helps us. Well, I don't. It's no big deal. It's just we want to know who you are. We just want to know because we want to show love to you. And once we know your name, then we pray for you. Once you find us, we claim you as a partner for the rest of your life. So you better hurry up and get praying or something.
You are adopted.
You are adopted immediately. Yep. We want that one too, Jesus. We adopt you. Hey, wait. I even adopt all the stupid pornographers that come by. When I zap them, I say, get them, Jesus, and bring them back clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wash them.
And listen, if any of you ever on any of our YouTube channel, you see pornography, don't ever click on it. Whatever you do, do not click on them weird-looking links.
Oh, no.
That's some horrible perversion. If I've missed one, and I don't think I have, because I get a display of every comment. If you ever see one, you make sure you find a date on that and say, Pastor, go here, and you get a hold of me immediately.
Yeah.
Because we'll nix that stuff right now.
They've gotten so sneaky about it, though, because some of them you don't even realize they're pornography links until you click on them to see what it is, and then it opens up like 34 screens of pornography that you can't.
If you can't tell what it is, whatever you do, don't click on it.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, it's no big deal, Pastor. I don't look at that. Well, here's the big deal. Because as soon as you click on it, your phone, your tablet, your computer is now connected to everything that's on that screen.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever looks at it, they're going to say, well, see, look what you look at. And it might only be one time, but it's still connected to your IP address. And you don't want that.
That gets me riled up.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like you to pop up on my phone, drop my dentures. I said, Christine, help me.
Rebecca whips that phone right up against the wall. I'll kill you, you foul devil.
I watch
it. It is. It's so deceptive.
Anyways, enough of that. Listen, just know where you're at and know what you're doing. But anyways, I'm going to keep talking. I can't do it. It's time to be done. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this?
We love you.
And God
loves
you.
And Jesus is on.
And Jesus.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night.
Good night, Mary Ellen.
I'm gone. God bless.